Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It is the Football Ramble Preview Show. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
Oh, and you're here. That's all I care about, ladies and gentlemen.
Should we explain that Pete's going to be back next week?
He is going to be.
People keep asking after him.
Mm. Well, it's...
I'm one of them.
When one of the three of us isn't here, people think, oh, they've probably gone on holiday. Something's happening in their life. One of the three of us present in the room now.
Oh, OK, yeah.
People think that's normal. When Pete's involved, it's, you know, could be anything.
Is he spending time at Her Majesty's pleasure?
Is he visiting his secret family in either Japan or Korea?
Yeah, who knows?
People are scouring the broadsheets for international coups going on in corners of the globe.
As keen-eared listeners of the show will know that Pete, last time he was in Korea, which is not a million miles away from where he is at the moment, he was run over by a man riding a moped who then tried to bribe him with 20 cigarettes to not tell anyone.
Weirdly, a friend of mine was actually run over by a moped, but this happened in London, so a passerby stole his cigarettes.
Nice. That's how it works.
Much more friendly,
isn't it? Much more friendly in South Korea, aren't
they? But Pete will be back next week.
Anyway. Hopefully. We presume. But we're going to carry on anyway, because there's a lot of Premier League action to talk about. West Brom host Manchester City.
Potential banana skin.
For West Brom?
Yeah.
Lol.
Good. The gags are cheap.
Yeah.
And they will remain that way.
They're free.
They are free.
Indeed.
Guardiola made 9 changes for his side's cup loss against Manchester United. Man City have gone 6 games without winning all competition, which is the worst run for Pep Guardiola as a manager.
Yeah. It's really interesting, isn't it? It's a proper tipping point.
I thought that was one of the worst games of the season. I watched it.
Did you?
The game against Man United, it was dreadful.
Was that bad? I didn't watch it.
The quality was so poor.
It seemed, from what I saw of it, I only saw highlights, but it looked as if Man United very much did have the better of it, though.
Yeah, but there wasn't a shot on target until, like, midway through the second half, I don't think.
Did it go in?
Until United scored, I think. There's definitely not a shot on target in the first half.
And Mourinho's fine with that.
The point is, United played a sort of stronger side, I guess, because they had to. Because although City have been in a terrible run, as Marcus has alluded to, they're still top of the Premier League. So, I mean, it's not the end of the world. But obviously, United were under a lot more immediate pressure. Mourinho was anyway. So they played a slightly stronger side. Zlatan had a terrible time of it. Really, really poor he was.
It's weird, isn't it? Like, how he started so well. And again, like, he just looks isolated now. And I guess it's Mourinho stinking the place out all over the shop, isn't it?
We'll come on to Manchester United a bit later. But with Man City, though, we talked about their soft core at the heart of that side, hence core. And I think teams think they're beatable now, or they can at least get a point. That fear factor seems to have gone, perhaps.
But like, it's just evaporated. It was such a quick thing.
Yeah.
Because at the moment they lost, everyone was like, oh, right, you're not invincible. We'll have a go at you.
Well, I think that... sometimes that can happen, can't it? Things can sort of swing quite quickly in football. Pep Guardiola said he's still learning about football in England, and he commented that every game you have to use a lot of energy to win. And that's an interesting admission there. But he is right. I'm not saying the Premier League's the best league in the world. I think, you know, the best teams in Europe are not in the Premier League currently. Yeah. But you have to say that, many people have said before in Spain... We said this the other week with some of the results. Barcelona, Real Madrid, and even Atletico Madrid to a lesser extent, have easy games where they can just turn up and they know they'll win 5-0. Bayern Munich, who he's managed also, a lot of those games, I mean, they won the league at an absolute trot let alone a canter.
Yeah.
And is trot slower than a canter?
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
yeah, okay. I'm
Gallop
sure.
is after canter.
Yeah,
think, yeah.
you don't want to win it at a gallop.
Although, before you email in, I'm out of my comfort zone now. That's my best guess.
Okay. Jim's cleverly stayed quiet.
Jim, it's better to be silent and assumed a fool than to open one's mouth and remove all doubt, as I regularly do.
Could you have told me that before I started?
No, because your career would be over. And so would mine.
Yeah. But with Manchester City, it's true. Every game in the Premier League is keenly contested.
Yes.
Even if they played Sunderland, first game of the season, 1-2-1. Now, I know Sunderland weren't as bad then as they are now, but every game, and I think Guardiola, he's obviously realised this because he said those quotes, and it's like, flipping heck,
I can remember when players came to the Premier League, when we first saw the foreign influx of players, however many years ago it would have been, 15, 20 years ago.
In the 90s.
And a lot of them would have said, the thing I like about the Premier League is that everyone tries right to the end of the season. Sort of thing. The second, or the last third of the season, certainly traditionally in places like Italy, it's not as fiercely contested as it is in the Premier League.
Yeah.
I know we're not in that part of the season just yet, but it is an example of how fiercely competitive it is and how much more level the playing field is in the Premier League when teams like Everton, who are a good side, and Southampton, who are also a good side, can get sort of fiercely competed for draws against Man City, who should really be the best team in the league, certainly on paper.
It's true, Jim. It's absolutely true. And it's exciting, isn't it? It's making for already a very good season because it's very difficult even to pick the top four. By which I mean it's not a foregone conclusion in the way it once was.
Mm.
I mean, back when Arsenal last won the league, it was basically Man United and one other was how it would go. Now it's just a million miles from that.
Yeah, and last season, of course, it was Leicester and Spurs.
Yeah, which is madness.
I mean, we can't be too silly here because Manchester United have wrapped the title up in recent years. Well, are they recent years anymore? In like March or April or something.
Yeah.
So it's not... the Premier League is so much more interesting. Generally, other leagues have had their times and whatnot of being more interesting. But there is no doubt, and this is one thing that the international players often say when tournaments come along, the Premier League needs a winter break because everyone is knackered because they've played so much football and it's so competitive every single game. I mean, Guardiola, you have to use a lot of energy to win. And he's saying this 9 games into the season.
I mean, it's worth pointing out at this point that Man City are still favourites for the Premier League title with Bet365. They're 11-8.
So rightly
£10, so. £10 in to win the Premier League this season will return you £23.75, including your stake. But we said, I think, on the Monday show or maybe the show a week ago, that City have got a pretty pivotal week. I mean, this trip to West Brom's tough. It's a tough one. They got Barcelona in the Champions League. And they need to get a good positive result ahead of that, you would think, for confidence reasons, especially when Barcelona come to town. And also, I mean, it is also worth pointing out that against Manchester United, they've rested a lot of players.
They
had a couple of young players who actually looked quite good, I thought. It was probably a little bit too early in their careers for them to be properly affecting games at Old Trafford and winning them. But players like Mafio, I thought, played really well, and one or two others. So it's starting to become a bit of a pivotal time for Guardiola. But it's still early enough in the season for them not to worry too much. I mean, teams will drop so many points just generally anywhere in the Premier League, because that's how it is these days, it seems, that they should be fine. And as I said at the top of this, they're still top of the league.
I think Guardiola's met his match in English football.
In English football. Well, actually, this game is going to be really interesting, isn't it? Because as we've said so many times about Tony Pulis, he does like to spoil teams, that have more talent in their ranks, and fair play to him, and so he should, to get the best out of the teams he has. So this, you would look at the run that Guardiola's been on and think, it's unlikely that a manager of this quality with a team of this calibre will be this bad for this long. And so you look at this game and think, surely that's winnable. But as we know from Pulis, and it's almost like West Brom's sum up the spirit of the entire league in a sense in this context. Like, you still can't confidently point to that as a City win.
No. That's why it's so interesting, especially this season. And West Brom have actually got not a bad side on paper, if you look at them. They've got decent forward players. They've got a lot of international experience in there as well.
Yeah.
They with Pulis as well, who knows how to get the best out of his side normally, this should be a season where... I don't want to tempt fate for you West Brom fans out there, but it should be a season where they shouldn't be too much in a relegation battle.
No, you wouldn't think so. What is a real shame is that since Saïd Berahino had his head turned, he just doesn't look like the same player. And I know he's had a lot of controversial incidents where he said he'd never play for Jeremy Peace again and all those sorts of things, but Pulis has brought him back into the team and he just looks a different player, doesn't he? He at his best, he reminded me of a young Jermaine Defoe, just like really sniffing those goals out and being one of those players that would just get those chances and bury them quite ruthlessly. But he doesn't... doesn't seem to have that spark about him at the moment. And oh, it's got to be a psychological thing. But if they can get him firing again, that'd be such a big boon for them.
I just wonder if they missed the chance to get big money for Berahino.
They probably did.
Yeah, well, I think they have.
And actually, I does go into the point that when
that's
a player...
That's why Tony Pulis is actively pursuing this sideline of making his own wine.
Is that right?
By crushing grapes under his hat.
Mm. To what?
Ease the frustration and also just pay for the money they've missed out on.
Diversifying his portfolio.
Mm. Yeah.
Fairly standard personal brand move.
True enough.
West Brom haven't won. I think West Brom have won one in the last nine or something as well, so they're not in great shakes themselves.
Mm. No. Well, actually, I think City have beaten West Brom in the last nine Premier League meetings. So.
Right. But will the Hawthorns be rocking, though?
I don't know. Can a place called the Hawthorns really rock? Sounds like a cottage, doesn't
it? Yeah, will it be swaying in the breeze?
I could not answer that.
Possibly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's a lovely name for a stadium, the Hawthorns.
Really, I think it's more like a lovely name for a smug cottage.
That's... Yeah. I think it's quite a nice name for... Do you know what it sounds like to me? I don't mean this in a disrespectful way. It sounds like the sort of place that a body has been found in a provincial murder novel.
Well, possibly.
Murder novel in a provincial town.
Yeah. Well, it also...
Is Pulis involved in this?
Absolutely not.
Sounds like a nursing home, doesn't it? So, you know, there's a chance bodies be found there all the time.
Mm.
Live ones, Jim. Mm. Well... Until
the inevitable happens to all of us.
Yeah, anyway, let's move on from the ages.
Pulis has got a good alibi. He was nowhere near the murder.
Yeah.
He was in his garage making, crushing grapes.
Right, under his hat.
We're moving on from the aged and inanimate objects. Yaya Toure. Pep Guardiola.
By the way, can I just also say you've put Joe Hart in this running order because he made an error midweek against Inter. Is that the only time he's going to get in the running order from now on?
Clean sheets and errors.
Apart from international breaks.
Sounds like the title of his book.
Yeah, he did. That's optional.
I didn't see it.
No.
Did he back himself afterwards and say it's not good enough for the standards that he sets himself?
He said in fluent Italian, which would be very impressive already. Pep Guardiola said he'd like to bring Yaya Toure back into the fold, but is still waiting for an apology from his agent.
Yeah.
Oh, this is getting awkward now, isn't it? But Toure's the last thing they need. Unless you have to... If you rest him for, like, 10 games worth of Yaya, maybe you get one amazing performance out of him.
But do you reckon he rang him up and went... Yeah, I've decided to make you available for selection for the game of the week. Oh, I've just remembered your agent still hasn't apologised.
I hope so.
Sorry about that. Bye.
Yeah. Is he there?
Does he want to apologise now?
Sorry about it. Do that.
Oh, you're not moaning about your birthday cake now, are you? Yeah.
Yeah, as you say, if they need a lot of energy to win a match, then that's the solution.
No.
What about this? West Brom's neighbours, Wolves, have sacked Walter Zenger.
Yeah.
The Zenger bus has gone off the blooming road. A lot of people were in touch saying the Zenger bus has gone off the rails. Buses don't go on rails.
No. Yeah.
That's a train.
No, I think...
Train isn't a thing.
No. If you want rails and buses in the same sentence to allude to the fact that the bus has gone wrong, then the bus will be on the rails.
Yeah, because it's
careered
it
off to the on the rail track.
It's off the road.
Yeah.
It's nose first in a ditch, possibly along the side of the Hawthorns.
Yeah.
The bus that could never slow down.
No casualties reported apart from Walter Zenger.
Oh, well, job-wise, he's not dead.
Whose managerial career is very much like a bus crash.
Well, it's careered.
It has careered. Career has careered. Since 1998, he's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 16 stints.
Yeah.
Ooh. That is a lot of crashed buses.
When we were talking about Zenger, first off, as Wolves
Big
manager.
It's Zenger.
Big Zenger. What did I say?
Zenger.
Zenger.
I think you're thinking of Wenger.
A cross between Wenger and a sort of chicken burger.
Absolute zinger.
Walter Zenger, and I'll put this out there, Walter Zenger was the coolest goalkeeper at World Cup 90 as well. He was. Chain, chewing gum, great hair.
Renegade Geeta?
He's not cooler,
is he? Not cool, I suppose, he was incredibly erratic.
Yeah.
Psychopath.
Zenger was a magnificent keeper in an absolute litany of good Italian keepers.
Oh, yeah.
He's right up there.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah. We said all this at the start of his reign as Wolves manager, but it is worth recapping because he has said so many. I couldn't remember.
Hmm.
I'm glad you reminded me of that. Because I knew he was in the teens.
When your managerial career starts out with a limited stint as player manager of the New England Revolution.
That's all right.
Before you're given your marching orders.
Oh.
Although I think he might have sort of left of his own accord.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
know.
Listen to this as well. Apparently, Wenger, I'm doing it again, I'm doing it myself. Zenger's nickname was, I've never heard this before, but Zenger's nickname was Delta Plano, which translates to English as the hang glider.
Nice.
Like that?
Now he's the hand grenade.
Yeah, quite.
Well, yeah, their season did start quite brightly. It wasn't that long ago we all wanted to get on the Wenger bus.
They're languishing now, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they fade about it. They're currently 18th in the league. But good news, Wolves fans, good news. Because Paul Ince has thrown his hat into the ring and really fancies the job.
Oh, God.
That's the last I've heard. I don't think they've appointed anybody. But
Your enthusiastic Jim was too enthusiastic for my tastes.
Well, no, he was thinking about Wolves are going to get the chance to say they've turned down Paul Ince.
They've been managed by Paul Ince. Yeah. I think Jim's enthusiasm was more material for the ramble.
Well, yeah, it's just a bit of a trip down memory lane. Maybe recycle some of that Paul Ince at Wolves material.
Yeah, no, at Blackburn. He was at Blackburn, wasn't he?
Yeah, Blackburn.
He's managed Wolves before.
He has managed Wolves. Sorry, but yeah. I thought you were alluding to that piece of paper.
Yes,
it just says shoot on it.
Which I kind of like.
Still funny. I actually watched a football game with Paul Ince once.
You really? Did?
Have I told you that story?
I think you have, but
he was actually a very nice man. There's nothing funny about it.
Now here you are just saying you've hung out with Paul Ince.
I know, exactly. I can say that.
Yeah.
He was a very nice man. He had a lot of interesting anecdotes about his time at Inter, almost none of which are suitable for this show.
That's good to hear.
One of them involved a physical altercation with an Inter goalkeeper.
Wow.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. I was going to start speculating, but you can't do that,
can you? No, you can't.
You cannot. But we can speculate about Spurs versus Leicester City and how that's going to go.
Before you go into that, just on the Wenger thing, I think it's worth saying. Mm. You know, at some point, I mean, Wenger, he was fired after 14 matches and 3 months in charge, as you said.
Yep.
I mean, that's happened in his career so often, you sort of think it has to be him.
Yeah.
It has to be his fault.
Well, you wonder how people keep getting jobs in situations like that. I guess there's just not enough managers to go around.
He shows them videos of him when he's playing at World Cup 90.
He's looking all cool with his chewing gum and his chain.
I can't remember who said it first, but someone very sort of pertinently once said, if you go around thinking everyone in the world is a dickhead, it might be you.
Yeah. That's right.
It's true.
Don't tell Walter I said that, though.
No. Spurs versus Leicester City. Will Robert Huth plant another headed winner for Leicester at the lane?
He might have to, because Spurs haven't conceded a goal in open play in the Premier League yet.
But do they score enough, Jim? Do they score enough for your tastes?
Yes,
they do for your tastes.
Absolutely. If anything, they're scoring too much, and they're not on fire enough.
They obviously haven't lost a game as well this season.
They've got an amazing defensive record, like they did last season as well. I think they were the last side to lose a game in the league. In Pochettino,
they were
under his reign last season, but they've only conceded 4 goals this season. Mm. And to put that into context, the next best sides are Everton and Southampton, and they've conceded 8 goals.
Mm. Yeah.
Just double what Spurs have conceded all season.
I mean, miserly at the back.
Yes, it's pretty good. I mean, they're drawing too many games, as I said, but. Is that because of a lack of cutting edge?
I think it is. That's what I said last week, and I'm sticking with it.
Yes, but you should stick with it.
As I said last week, they are missing Harry Kane and also Moussa Dembélé, who's a real engine for them in midfield, who makes a lot of stuff happen. So I don't think it's
a problem without
a fix. I mean, as we said before, every team goes through this, but I don't think it's going to be enough to stop them actually having a genuine title challenge with some substance.
They're not having a League Cup challenge, though, are they?
Jim is correct, because it's a legitimate argument to say that Dembélé and Kane are their two most important outfield players. Mm-hmm. Those two and Alderweireld, who's also been injured a little bit as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to put it into context, they're only 1 point off the top. So when they welcome those players back, it's all going to be rosy in the garden again.
It is. Big Tobe needs a towering header from a corner.
Mm. Yes.
He loves a front post header.
But, I mean, Leicester aren't the side they were, are they? And Leicester going to White Hart Lane. I mean, Spurs are 4-7 to win this with Bet365. So £10 returns £15.71, including stake. And you can see why that is, because Leicester look content to fight their battles in the Champions League.
Yeah. And take a rest in the league.
Yeah, just enjoy themselves.
Little practice league.
Well, they were much better last time out in the league, beating Crystal Palace 3-1.
Yes.
And Ranieri had a tiny tinker. If you will. And it worked, bringing in Okazaki and Musa, who both scored, I think. And Okazaki looked great.
Mm. Did he drop Vardy for that game?
Yeah, did you?
He did, on the bench.
So maybe he'll do that again. I mean, I think this works nicely.
Well, he's going to have to rotate. I mean, we remember Ranieri at Chelsea, the Tinker Man, they used to call him, used to rotate his squad a lot. I think he was one of the first managers to really bring it to the masses, the squad rotation.
In England, he was.
In England, yeah.
It was seen as foreign muck, wasn't it, at first?
Yeah, it was. Or was it Viola who did it before?
I think it was certainly a Chelsea manager, and I vividly remember, I don't remember the specifics of that, but I vividly remember the press going mad about this foreign muck of rotation.
The tinker man.
A load of old ex-pros coming with us, saying, we'll play every game. Yeah. What's wrong with you?
We'll play every game drunk.
Yeah.
drunk with a rucksack full of rocks on your back.
I'm drunk now.
Yeah. I've been drunk for years by now.
All right. Yeah. That might have just been Neil Ruddock, but there was a lot of people saying stuff as well.
Yeah, he'd had people with him.
Yeah.
Properly. Get him home.
Listen, my impression of Ruddock, my experience of Ruddock, he rarely fights alone. He hunts in packs. Yeah.
But Leicester, they have two players who are challenging for the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah.
Hey, you're not challenging, you've challenged for the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, you've done it all. Yeah. You've done all the hard work. Now it's time to sit back and enjoy.
Do you not think it would be better?
Which Leicester are very much doing.
Right. Do you not think it would be better, though, if the Ballon d'Or, the 30 players who are nominated, or whatever number it is, that's when the challenge begins?
Yeah, that'd be good, actually, wouldn't it? Mm. That they've all got to sort of win it over the next month or so.
It would make it much more interesting.
It's a weird thing, isn't it, the long list on the Ballon d'Or?
Yeah.
Pepe's nominated for it. Imagine if Pepe won the Ballon d'Or. And he's got to be in there thinking, there is no chance I'm going to win this, but I am nominated. Surely I might. It must be maddening in a weird way.
I think he knows he's not going
to... In another way, it annoys me. Mm. I don't get too annoyed about these individual awards, but it annoys me that Pepe's part of the conversation.
but he's not really.
But Harry Kane's not nominated, and he scored more goals than Vardy last season. He scored more goals than Sergio Aguero as well.
More goals than Pepe.
There you go, quite.
Well, he's not been nominated, brother.
Well, I was bringing it up as I can now see a failed discussion point.
Jamie Vardy.
None of us care about it.
No, you don't.
But there are some little interesting ones in here. Jamie Vardy's the first Englishman to be nominated for the award since Wayne Rooney in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Which
mm-hmm.
shows you that our players have not been firing on all cylinders.
No.
Obviously, Riyad Mahrez is among the nominees.
I could have told you that.
Yeah, okay. It's been 11 years since an Englishman finished in the top three, which was Frankie Lampard.
Wow. When was that?
Finished
2005?
Second. Yeah, behind Ronaldinho in 2005. The last Englishman to win the award was Michael Owen in 2001.
God. 2005-06 was when Lampard scored loads of goals, wasn't it?
Of Lampsey.
Yeah.
The other English players to have won the award was Sir Stanley Matthews. Oh, Sir Bobby Charlton.
Yeah, I think he might have won the inaugural one.
I think he might have done. Sir Bobby Charlton.
The inaugural one.
Inaugural
Did
one.
Did no one know about it?
Inaugural, yeah. It was the first one, but it was also widely ignored.
Yeah.
Much like the Rambles earlier, Uvra.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like I say, Sir Bobby Charlton and Sir Kevin Keegan.
There we go. Sir Kevin Keegan. Where's that come from?
That wouldn't work. Imagine the Queen having to wave a sword around near Kevin Keegan. Boy, that's not going to end well, is it?
He's won it twice.
Hmm.
I've been hit twice. Remember that one?
Yeah, I've done it. Come off it, man.
What was that?
It's when he gets sent off in the charity shield against Billy Bremner. You know this. This is Keegan 101.
Jim, there's too many. He gets punched twice and sent off.
Takes his top off. But by the way, Frank Lampard, I'm just talking about that 2005-06 thing.
Yeah.
Frank Lampard's goals in all competitions from around that time, so from 2004-05 through to 2009-10, 19, 20, 21, 20, 20, 27 goals.
Yeah.
From midfield.
Well, I think him and Yaya Toure are the only two midfielders to have scored 20-plus goals in a Premier League season.
Anyway, back to Keegan.
Oh!
I've got a story about Keegan.
Yes.
Quick story.
Always.
Jim and I were on TalkSport talking about the book earlier, and Hawksby and Jacobs, who were kind enough to have us on there, and we told them how much we love Keegan, and they were like, Keegan's good value and all sort of stuff, and they said, have you heard about Kevin Keegan's problems with the planning, with getting planning permission?
As students of Keegan, we were both a little disappointed in ourselves.
Gap in our knowledge, the saga of the Keegan planning thing, spellers already off, you don't know anything about this.
You'll see him in a bit, listeners.
So basically, Marcus...
It's all set up. Keegan's planning permission.
Yeah.
What could go wrong?
In many ways, I don't need to add any more of that.
No.
But I will. It's a bit of self-indulgence.
Please.
So I did a bit of reading between the lines, and then I'm looking between the stories I could find. I think it was a couple of years ago. And Keegan applied to have an extension put on this end of his house. I haven't even got to the best bit yet.
Just the thought of Keegan's house is enough for Marcus.
I know people have done that, and it's been great. They've had the extension, and they've been living in the house, and all's good.
You know where this is going, don't you?
Yeah.
And that's what happened to Kevin. Right, let's get on to the next day. So basically, he applied for planning permission on his house, and it was it took way longer than he expected, and it was turned down. And so I don't know how the newspaper got hold of this, but apparently Keegan wrote a letter.
Just go through the bins.
Yeah, right. Write a letter.
You won't learn.
But the thing is, if you write a letter to someone, it's not mean you're being, is it?
Well, it'll fall in there. Well, if it turns out to be inconvenient for you, the universe will find a way.
He won't be in Keegan's bin because his foot's in his bin.
Let me get
on
with
this. No, he's got the rubbish bin and the foot bin.
This is one of the problems with tennis about Keegan. You can't get anywhere. Anyway, so it was turned down. Apparently it took 8 weeks and he was fuming about it. So he wrote a letter saying, I can't believe this has happened, one, because I know for a fact the guy on the road, he had his plan permission sort of approved, and it's not fair. And I can't believe it's taken you 8 weeks to get to this conclusion anyway, because all you're supposed to be doing is looking over the thing, checking the drawings or whatever. And I think it was like turned down because it was too big or something. And he said it shouldn't have taken you 8 weeks to get to that conclusion. All you've got to do is look at the drawings and you'll be able to find out straight away. Anyway, the guy, and Keegan went on to say... the guy down the road had this guy, this planning consultant or whatever, who makes a decision, had a different planning consultant. And I know that he approved that one. And it's exactly the same as mine. So I want him to look into it. I'm appealing this. And I want the guy down the road, who did the guy who did the one down the road, to look into it again. And I expect that to be happening post haste. So to cut a long story short, they agreed with that. They got the planning consultant from down the road to do it. And he turned it down as well.
How much does he have to achieve to simply be able to do the things he wants to do?
The council! Even the council!
No. Yeah. Not having it.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Yeah. Right. Oh, dear. Should, any more on Spurs versus Leicester before we go to a quick break?
No.
We're done. All right. We'll see you just after this.
Hi, I'm Jermaine Defoe. This is the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Jermaine Defoe. And this is the Football Ramble.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, everybody. Oh, yes. Right. Right, enough.
You're right, have you composed yourself?
I just about
have. Who are you saying enough to? You're the one who needs to be saying that to yourself.
I am saying it to myself.
Good.
Luke, over to you.
Yeah, I want to give people a bit of an update on the Football Ramble live theatre shows, and there are still some tickets available for some of them, and the first one is on Wednesday the 2nd of November, so this Wednesday at the Old Market in Brighton, which is actually in Hove, isn't it? Around there.
Kind of in the middle.
For the sake of ease, we'll say Brighton, and there are some tickets available. Of course, only an hour away on the train, and we'll be travelling down there by train ourselves. So do come along, get your tickets from the venue, the Old Market Brighton, or from Sea Tickets, and you can find the link on thefootballramble.com. And we're also doing some shows... the Friday on the following Friday at Bristol, but that's sold out. But Sunday on the 6th of November in Cardiff, and that's not sold out. Mm-hmm. And then the following Saturday, the 12th of November, at the Hackney Empire in London. So if you're in Brighton, Cardiff or London and you want to come along and see our theatre show, it's a bit different from the podcast. Yes. There's going to be chances to win free signed books and get involved, lots of competitions, lots of videos and fun stuff to be getting your teeth into. It's a good night out. We'd love to see you there. So get yourselves down there and we'll hopefully see you there.
Pete will be at all of those live shows.
Yeah,
and get to know him a little more, which may... I don't think it'll provide answers. It'll provide questions, well, more questions.
If it doesn't terrify you at this point, it should.
Yeah, if you're agreeing or siding with Pete at any point, then you need to
ask yourself some questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Really. Have some sort of test or something like that. But yes, do get yourselves along. And if you're in the Bristol area and it's sold out and you're gutted, then Cardiff's not that far away.
Exactly. It's just up the road.
It's just up the road, for crying out loud.
Isn't it a different country, technically? But it's right out the road.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there we are. Right then, Manchester United, they're playing Burnley.
They were terrible against City. We've been through that.
Yeah. Mm. But they did get a big result, though.
They got a much-needed win, yeah.
They did get a much-needed win. It was a clean sheet. Mourinho likes a clean sheet. Who doesn't?
He also outed himself as a sort of footballing Alan Partridge, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, I found it bloody amusing.
Well, see, Mourinho was interviewed and he said that he's finding it hard to adapt to life in Manchester and he's missing his family. I think his children are... excuse me, 17 and 20.
Mm.
And obviously, you know, he's missing out on
them.
Their lives, you know, and seeing what's going on and whatnot, which is obviously quite sad.
Yeah.
But the thing is with Marina, I know this makes me sound horribly sort of cynical, but you just don't know if he's diverting attention again. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, he often does that. I mean, of course, yes, I'm sad that a father's not with his kids and all that kind of stuff, but he did say that he didn't like it so much living in a top of it. Was it a he's in a hotel, isn't
he? Yeah, well, a travel tavern.
He's in a £1,000 night hotel, apparently. So it's not like he's on the breadline. But, but I guess the thing about that is you don't know what's happened in his children's lives. They've probably got school and university and stuff to take care of, so they can't just up and leave. And I understand that. It can be difficult. But many people go through that situation, and I'm sure Mourinho, if he wanted, could find a house to live in. I think Guardiola sorted himself out with a house already.
There was this story in the Mail a little while ago, wasn't there, comparing them, saying, Pep's already got a house, Mourinho's living in a hotel, the weirdo. Like, just trying to sort of stoke the flames between them. But yeah, it does seem odd, doesn't it? I mean,
especially if he's going to stay there a long time
anyway.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder whether he actually intends to. And clearly he does.
I think he's having a bit of a... I think he's going through a little bit of a difficult time, Mourinho. I don't know if he's the manager and the man we once were used to seeing.
Well, we did talk about this last season when things started to go awry at Chelsea. We've seen so many times these cycles of managers... who they are at the top of their game, but it only tends to last about a decade. And you do get exceptions like Sir Alex Ferguson and so on. But, Mourinho is past that sell-by date, judging on how these things tend to work out. So we were wondering, is he just a busted flush? And I know it's really early to be saying that, but, like, the signs are there, aren't they? This does not look like the Mourinho of old that would come into a club and immediately just make it this fortress.
Well, this week's video on our YouTube channel, I focus on Mourinho and talk a lot about this kind of stuff.
I thought Jamie Carragher said something quite interesting in the coverage last night. He said that at the start of the season, United weren't playing very well, but they were getting results.
Mm.
And we all thought what we normally think, which is that's a sign of a good team, right? It's taken him a while to get his feet under the table. The players are playing for him. They're grinding out results, even though they're not playing particularly well. I mean, they started off the season with three wins in a row, don't forget. They beat Hull, Southampton, and before that, on the first day, they beat Bournemouth away, I think. Didn't really look particularly fluent in any of those games, but Zlatan was scoring and all the rest of it. Since then, it's been a bit of a mixed bag, really. I mean, it's not been that good since then. I mean, they lost three of their last six.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he knows what his best team is.
I think Chelsea result has been one where people thought, hang on, maybe we thought he was going to rally there, and they've just been hammered.
Well, there's the Chelsea result and also the Liverpool performance. Mm-hmm. That was 0-0. It was a very strange setup, wasn't it, to just be that sort of conservative.
Well, you know, Watford are the only teams who have conceded more goals than them in the top half of the season.
And Watford beat them 3-1.
Yeah.
But like I say, go to youtube.com/footballramble to see my beautiful mug talking about Mourinho and all that kind of stuff. A couple of Bastian Schweinsteiger's former teammates have suggested that he's the solution to Manchester United's midfield problems.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think it would be, if it were me playing the formation that they sort of tend to play, or they certainly played last night, which is the two in front of the back four.
Mm-hmm.
I'd play Ander Herrera in every game. I think he's brilliant, and I think I'd probably play Carrick.
Yeah,
but then I understand that he hasn't used Carrick that much. But I understand you might not be able to use Carrick all the time because he's 35 or so now. So
he hasn't used him at all, really.
Well, he hasn't used him at all, especially odd, given that he's used Fellaini a lot more. Than he's used Carrick. I understand Mourinho likes a physical player.
He's a destroyer, isn't he, Fellaini? That's his role. It's very different from what Carrick brings.
Yeah, quite. And I don't think. I'm obviously not an expert on Man United and how they play, and there's people out there who've seen him a lot more than I have. I don't know if Schweinsteiger would be any worse than Fellaini.
Well,
in front of the back four. He's a different player, I understand that.
Like one of us was saying on a previous show, I just wonder if Pogba... The system's obviously not suiting him at the moment. Is he as good as his price tag would say? Now, he's obviously a fantastic player. No one's doubting that. But have they bought, as somebody said on Twitter, more of a brand than a footballer in a sense? Pogba was great for Juventus, but he was in a very, very good midfield with players who knew their jobs and would do a lot of running
and
around him.
Were built around him.
Yeah, and he was... not given a free role as such, but he was allowed
had a lot of protection,
and he was given a bit more freedom. And I just wonder, for Manchester United, playing in a two in front of a back four, he doesn't get as forward as much as he would probably like. Now, I think that they lack a proper out-and-out defensive midfielder who is, you know, you almost sort of play one in front of the back four.
Yeah, the screen.
Yeah, like Busquets would do for Barcelona. Yeah. And Xavi would sort of shuttle around up and down the field. And then Iniesta would be the one of the three of that great midfield who would be able to just float around the box and attack much more than and have any thought of defending.
Are you saying that the current Man United midfield isn't as good as perhaps the greatest midfielder game has ever seen?
Not in
current
form.
Is that what you're hinting at?
Not well, current
I think the jury's out.
Yeah. All right. Well, Manuel Neuer said Manchester United need him in there. And Lucas Podolski tweeted during Chelsea's thrashing of Manchester United, Schweinsteiger, please.
But it's a polite request.
Yeah. Submitted a polite request.
Manchester United are 11-10 with Bet365 to get back on the horse and eventually finish in the top four. So 11-10 to finish in the top four. So £10 returns, £21 including stake. So people still think they've got a pretty good chance of finishing that top four. But it is very competitive up there. A lot of teams who can stake a claim.
But it's also early days.
I don't think... set myself up for a fall here, and we did do that last week when we talked about there not being many goals in the game against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. But I wonder if they're going to have an awful lot of joy against Burnley.
Burnley know their game.
Well, this is a test of Burnley's mettle on the road as much as anything,
yes,
isn't it? Because we know how they're going to play.
It is, absolutely. But it's also exactly the sort of team that you don't want to be playing when things aren't particularly going your way.
You're struggling to score.
I know they got a win against City in the League Cup, but in the large scheme of things, that's not hugely relevant. You would rather be playing a little bit of a flaky, fancy team rather than this team who are going to drill you into the ground.
Well, the thing is, though, that Man United's we'll have to just hit them early. If you get that first goal, Old Trafford being what it is, I think that they'll be fine. But Burnley do make that really, really tough, don't they? Coming by that first goal is really, really difficult against them.
2-1 Burnley.
I don't think United. I mean, look, last game before the defeat to Chelsea, they drew 0-0 with Liverpool. Didn't really look like scoring much. And then in the first half against City, they don't have a shot on target. So, I mean, you're talking about them scoring early. It's probably possibly a bit beyond them against such a good team.
Well, you remember...
such a hard-working team.
You remember one of Sean Dyche's nicknames is?
The Sandy Ballbag?
No, well, not that's one of our nicknames for him. Yeah. The Ginger Mourinho.
Did that stick, that one?
Was a few people used to say that a few years ago.
Well, a few people call him a Sandy Ballbag. Yeah. We'll have to do a Twitter poll.
A few more people, certainly in this room, call him a Sandy Ballbag.
Now, does Mourinho bring Wayne Rooney back in the side? That is an enormous question.
Is he fit again now, is he?
I don't know. Was he ever? But there's been talk. there's been rhetorical questions at the Football Ramble. Mm. There's talk of Sven's Shanghai side making a big money offer for Wayne Rooney.
Ding.
Wayne Rooney's not going to move to China.
Was that you giving your approval?
It just happened.
Okay, yeah. But
it's like you had an idea.
Yeah. According to reports, Inter are interested in him as well.
Yeah, I heard that he's interested, and also MLS.
That'd be a fascinating move if you went to Inter.
I think more players should do that in the later years of their career.
As we all do, but just it's an age-old debate about whether English players want to do it. If they've got the appetite to kind of experience different cultures, that's going to happen.
If that's the case, I think he's far more likely to go to the US.
Yeah.
Because it's easier.
He could go back to be with Sven.
But not everyone rates Sven in the way you do, mate.
I'm not saying he should.
You're like a spurned lover with Sven. I've never got over him.
I'm not saying he should.
I'm saying he could.
Listen,
not denying
year.
It.
Listen this year. Marcus, how old are you at the moment? 34.
Might be somewhere around
34.
There.
34. Exactly the sort of age. If you were a professional footballer, he'd be in China by now, wouldn't he?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You'd have Sven on speed dial if that were a thing.
I'd have gone at 31.
Because you like to pride yourself as being a forward player.
You'd follow Sven around his various pay packets.
And also, you've lost the yard now, so you'd be straight out of China.
Have I lost the yard?
Yes.
Did you see that Twitter video the other day?
I did, yeah.
Right. It's relevant. If Sven is in the press and his side are going to make a money move for Rooney, I have to tell the good listeners of the Football Ramble this.
Yeah, it's only fair.
Otherwise, it's negligent.
Let's not shoot the messenger in.
Other slightly strange transfer news, Glenn Johnson has been linked to Barcelona in the Spanish press.
Yeah, this is a funny one, isn't it?
It is incredibly funny. Strange, Jim.
Yeah, just bizarre. Has anyone got any sort of insight into why that happened?
I also read earlier that apparently Nathaniel Clyne's been linked with a move away from Liverpool, which seems bizarre to me.
But where, though?
I don't know.
Yeah, but you see, if Barcelona were looking at Nathaniel Clyne, I'd think, well, it's slightly surprising, but OK. Maybe, you know,
is it that surprising? I think he's. I'm not sure he's Barcelona class, but he's a good player.
That's why it would be slightly
Johnson. Yeah. But Johnson would surely be like third or fourth choice or something.
Well,
right?
I think that's it. I think it's under the guise of it's a low cost addition for right back cover.
Right.
I'd love it. If Arsenal and Johnson, I'd be all over that.
I'd just play
Copa del Rey. Ray and the occasional sort of dead rubber in the Champions League group stage. That'll do me. And hope there's an injury.
I'd play for the B-side, just come and watch the first thing.
So you'd be in China, mate.
I don't know. But yeah, I would love that to happen, but who knows? It's only just a little bit of press talk, paper talk, as they call it. Middlesbrough are at home to Bournemouth.
This is not a thigh rubber.
No, it's
not. It's not a Donaldson thigh rubber, is it?
I think it is for both of those sides, because
really?
There are points in this game for both of those sides. Mm. Well, obviously, only one side can get one.
Let's say draw.
It could be a draw.
But they wouldn't get points.
Point singular. Yeah.
I think Bournemouth have probably got the better chance of getting them. They look good this season, don't they? They look like they've maintained their rhythm from the end of last season.
Well, they're on a good run.
After losing their opening two matches of the season, they've only lost once since, and that was away to Manchester City.
And they battered Hull. They buttered Hull.
Buttered and then battered Hull.
Yeah.
They had the time and the space.
Buttered them. Then jammed them.
They've hammered Hull.
Breaded them.
they've beaten Everton recently. Obviously, Hull, as you're saying, got a point and a clean sheet against Spurs.
Mm. And they've got big Jack Wilshere in the middle of the park.
Yep.
Dream stuff.
He echoes Guardiola's thoughts, saying recently that 90 minutes in the Premier League is very hard to achieve.
I think from his point of view, that's very fair, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But he seems to be doing all right for Bournemouth.
He does, yeah. Well, game time's obviously exactly what he needs. So it's going to take him a while to get back to his best, because he's missed so much football over the last couple of years. But, part of his quality is that he's very sort of tenacious and hard-working player, isn't it? So, working his way back into fitness and actually just getting some time in a team that have to fight very hard by the very nature of the type of team they are is perfect for him. It's a good move.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people scorned him and said, why on earth is he going to Bournemouth? That's a real step down from Arsenal. He could have gone abroad. He could have gone to a better side. And I'm sure we said similar things.
Yeah.
And people said, his style of play is maybe not good to roll your sleeves up and try and have a bit of a scrap. But actually, Howe's not trying to set out his team like that, is he? And I suppose from the player's point of view...
Well, I just did. My point at the time, I think, was that it takes him a number of games to play his way in.
Yeah.
And he's a type of player, as far as I can make out, who needs to play four or five games to get to that peak level. Mm, and at Arsenal, there's so much competition, and he's had such a record with injury, he's not going to get a chance to do that. So anywhere he can play.
Yeah.
And the problem for a Premier League team, they're probably... it wouldn't be out of the ordinary... or completely mind-blowing to see them finish in mid-table this season.
No, so not on their current form.
So him to go to a mid-table Premier League team is essentially where he is going to go if he wants to stay in England, because he's not going to go to the Championship. He's too good for a team right down the bottom.
But
he's not going to be able to... He's not going to be allowed to go to a competitor team.
But what if a team like Roma came in for him?
But he's clearly not the type of guy who wants to go overseas, is
okay.
he?
Yeah.
And also, at the moment, the idea is for him to come to get fit and play for Arsenal again, so the Premier League is actually a better place for him to be doing that.
I don't think he'll go back to Arsenal now. I genuinely don't think it'll happen.
I was about to say, he clearly loves starting and playing as much football as possible. I know that sounds a silly thing to say, but some players like that more than others, as we've seen over the years.
But you're right, it doesn't sound like a silly thing to say, because if you look at football a touch more forensically, look at Man City. If you're one of these attacking three that play behind a striker at Man City, it's perfectly reasonable for a manager to pick a different type of attacking player for a different type of job.
Yeah.
So he might want to pick, for example, Navas to hit the touchline and use his pace against or against like a really pacey fullback. But he might want to use someone else like De Bruyne or Nolito to be a bit more tricky, or David Silva for a different job.
Mm-hmm.
With someone like Wilshere, the position he plays, he wants to be in there every game.
Right,
38 games a season, he wants to play. If he's fit, he wants to be in there every single game, and there's no reason to change him.
And I actually agree with you. I think at the end of this season, will Arsenal want him? Probably.
I think they will.
Will they need him? That's a different question.
Well, I think, as I've said so many times with Arsenal, and I think with any sort of top squad, you've got to have a deep squad. You've got to have more players than you need, especially with the injury record that Arsenal have. Now, I know that Wilshere himself has contributed to that a lot. But I think there's definitely an argument that they'll need a fit Jack Wilshere. If he's at his best and he's fit, then he's got a lot to bring to the team. So I don't think it'll be a case of Arsenal not wanting him. I think it'll be more down to what he wants to do.
I'm happy to be wrong, and Jim knows loads more about Arsenal than I do, but for me, I don't see his long-term future there, not just because of football reasons, by the way.
I think but you've both got points.
Yes, just going back to this game, though, the Middlesbrough game that Bournemouth are going up to at the Riverside. Negredo's 5-1 to be first goal scorer at Bet365. So £10 return, £60 including the stake. He needs a goal.
He does.
He's one of those players now. He looks to me like one of those players now that if he doesn't contribute in terms of goals or assists, he just looks like a lumbering mess up front. He looks out of shape, doesn't he?
What I would say about Negredo, though, is having watched him at the Emirates last week, he has very, very little service. He's almost playing as like a very high defender at times. And some Middlesbrough fans I met on the day were saying, actually, this has been a problem with him. He's barely had a sniff, and it's there's just nothing coming into him. And
looks a bit isolated.
I mean, what can you do? What can
Did
you
he look
really
like a that? Lumbering mess, Jim?
I wouldn't call him a lumbering mess.
Listen, if anyone knows what a lumbering mess, it takes one to know one. All right,
I'm thinking like a tree trunk falling down a hill.
Yeah, okay. That's just the same thing, said in a different way, really, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, that's when he's failed. Yeah. Yes, indeed. No, but
he does need a goal.
He really does need a goal. But the thing is, the chances are few and far between. It's nicking something off a set piece or whatever. But at home, you would think things would be slightly different.
Well, one of their favourite current sons, as far as I'm aware, Ben Gibson, who's a massive club man, he loves Middlesbrough, he's urged the fans to turn the Riverside Stadium into an intimidating place for away teams to play.
Well, it's absolutely key, is what you've got to do. Yeah.
It is key. And Middlesbrough, I've seen Middlesbrough away once or twice, and they do take a great support. I saw them away in London once, and that game in particular, the away support was fantastic. And I actually interviewed Ben Gibson not long after that, and he just said, "Man, that support just blew us away." You know, and they do if they can turn that stadium into the type of place where teams just don't want to go, like we're seeing with Burnley.
Yeah,
you know. And Celtic
Stoke
in the Champions League.
Had that in the past.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know it's easier said than done, don't get me wrong.
Every team wants to do it.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But you're just echoing the thoughts of Gibson there. You know, give them an extra little chance. But, you know, points are up for grabs in that game, as they are in every game. And I think that's a tough one to call. I really do. But Middlesbrough, you would say, need the points more than Bournemouth at the moment.
They certainly do, yeah, absolutely.
They certainly do. What is our bet of the week, Luke?
Well, we're staying at the Riverside, Marcus. We are going to go for 0-0 in the Middlesbrough-Bournemouth game.
Point each.
7-1 for our bet 365 best bet of the week. Mm. So £50 will return us £400, including our stake, with all proceeds, of course, going to Prostate Cancer UK. Please remember, you must be over the age of 18 to bet and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to gambleaware.co.uk. So 0-0 in the Middlesbrough-Bournemouth game. Goose eggs. Because I know Bournemouth scored 6 against Hull the other week, but I mean, I think it's going to be quite a low-scoring, cagey affair.
We'll score down.
So, yeah, 0-0's the pick.
That's the one. Jimmy Baby, any emails?
We do have some emails, so I'm just going to dive right into one. Hello, folks. The opening segment of the latest show mentioned that feeling you get when you line up as a kid against giant opposition, and it reminded me of the time we, Whitehaven Miners Social, played against our local team that Scott Carson played for. They were Cleator Moor Celtic, when we were about 13.
Good name.
Very good. We were convinced he was a coach due to his sheer size and the fact he had more hair on his face than the rest of us had in our underpants. Ooh. I was also a keeper and was coming into the game hot on the heels of a star performance against bitter rivals Whitehaven Amateurs, where I made a string of saves, including a penalty save resulting in a 3-2 win. Carson Celtic rolled into town and upon taking a 6-0 lead at half-time, decided to throw the big lad up front for the second half. Oh. He promptly banged in a hat-trick, culminating in a 12-0 thrashing, and my dreams of a career as a keeper came crashing back to earth. Fast forward almost 20 years, and he recently bought a house round the corner from me, meaning I wasn't even the best keeper on my estate anymore. Gutted.
So he firebombed it.
Yeah. I've attached a picture of him, not an audio feature, with a couple of mates when they played for the local cricket team. See if you can spot him. Now, this picture is ridiculous.
It's
like, I don't have it with me, right. I'll show you later, but it is like he's double the size of everyone else in it. It's amazing, those kids with them growth spurts. It's a frightening thing to look at.
Imagine that, though. You're playing a side, you're getting hammered, they put the keeper up front,
and then
you think, "Oh, that's taking the mick. We're not that bad." Oh,
but he was
scored a hat-trick.
So big.
We are that bad. In fact, we're worse than we thought we were.
I don't like the idea of Scott Carson being like a flat track bully and going up front and stuff.
No, I don't think that was years ago. Yeah.
I know, but I mean, even so, the seed's in there. The seed's been sown.
Right. Got a late goals update as well.
Oh, yeah.
This is from Jamie Harris. The other email was from Andy in Whitehaven, so cheers for that, Andy. So this is from Jamie. Hi, chaps. I've listened with interest to your late goals chat and feel that my Newport County side comfortably beats all other contenders.
Well, they're bottom of the football league, so I wouldn't question that.
No, but still. This season alone, we've conceded goals that have been winners for the opposition in the 93rd, 90th, 96th, 83rd, and 88th and 81st minutes. This may partially have contributed to our drop to the bottom of League 2. too. Last season was no better. 80th, 85th, 96th, 90th, 95th, 90th, the last two were draws. But good news for you, Graham Wesley has recently taken over. And despite losing 3-1 to a top of the league Plymouth at the weekend, Big John Parkin scored a beaut.
Yeah.
Onwards and upwards. That's Jamie Harris.
I know Jamie Harris. He's a friend of mine, actually. And he was in Milan recently supporting Southampton when they played Inter.
Why was he doing that?
Because all the cool kids are supporting
Southampton. He's a Newport County fan.
Well, I think he's got... Mates.
Get off their backs.
No.
Not that they can't afford to carry the weight with the success they're having.
Newport County have only won one game this season.
Yeah. Mm. But he ended up drinking with Jason Dodd, former Southampton man.
Oh, yeah. Why are you telling me this?
Well, because...
He's rubbing it in.
He said he enjoyed... He scored a direct from a corner against Portsmouth once. Yeah. Told them all about it. It was a memory that
again
to make you feel better, mate. I've got
why are you telling me this?
Got a pun 11 here if you're interested. I figure you know Pete's not here, so he can't moan about it. So
oh, go on.
Do you want it?
Go on then.
Okay, this is from Malky in Glasgow.
Malky,
we immediately like this.
Oh, so, Marcus is right up your street. Yeah, it's Malky.
Big Malky.
Hi guys, my pals and I started doing horse puns for some reason, so I thought I'd share my footballing horse 11.
Just as well you're doing this, as you say that Pete's not here.
Indeed. So number one. David De Gea.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Oh, what, Haya? Okay, yeah. Right, yeah.
Paul McGrath.
I don't really get that one.
Horses eat grass.
Oh, grass. I thought you just said Paul McGrath. I was like,
No,
I got the grass and I thought, okay. Yeah, better get a lot better quickly.
It gets better. Right. It's Malky you're going to have to answer to. And
yeah.
Based on his name, I don't like your odds, Marcus. So
I'm still very quick, Jim. I haven't lost that pace.
Number three would be Louis van Gaalop.
No, it's poor. It's poor.
Jim. Jamie Carragher. It's not my pun 11.
Jamie Carragher is better.
Jürgen Klipklop.
That's good. That's
better.
All right.
Giovanni Van Bronco horse.
Yeah, okay. He could have just gone Giovanni Van Bronk horse.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
He could have done.
But Broncos, you know, he's got some, well.
But a Bronco is a cow, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. You know, Malky, come on. You got to pull yourself back. Paul Foles.
Paul Foles is good. Yeah, that's good.
Eric Cantona.
Cantona, yeah, okay.
Gary Blinnaker. I mean, that's reaching.
Gary what?
Blinnaker, like a blinker.
Oh, that's terrible.
You could have had Reggie Blinker.
Diego
Furlong. Just go for Paul Furlong.
Yeah,
this guy's the last one, Seidel Berahino.
I mean, the last one is fine, but I mean, he's basically missed about four own goals.
Come here. They play at Man City's old stomping ground, Main Road, and be co-owned by Gigi Becali and Sir Alan Sugarlumps.
Okay.
Gigi Becali. That's Malky in Glasgow.
All right, look forward to picking him up next week.
Yeah, let us know where you want to meet Marcus to batter him.
I know it's not really the show for highlights of the week, but I saw today that the Queen, Queen Elizabeth II, is doing a big shop today.
No way.
In the paper, she's opening a supermarket.
All right.
Walking around the aisles, looked like she was doing a big shop.
Like she normally does.
I'd love a Queen Elizabeth II big shop.
I thought you were going to say, it'd be great to play with your shopping with little pictures of yourself.
Yeah, exactly. It would be great.
Only she can do that.
Yeah, that's right. I thought you were going to say something's happened to her and the season's been cancelled.
No. Oh, no. No, definitely not.
And Arsenal are finishing the top four, Jim.
Oh, well, that's not that unusual, is it?
True. Yeah, but again, for another season, you know, keep it consistent. That's why Wenger's there. Right, any more for any more?
No.
Okay, it is.
I think we were out of content some time ago. And I think our listeners will agree.
All right, remember the live shows. Do remember that, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, and also remember, you're still able to get a free audiobook from us. audible.co.uk/footballramble. If you subscribe to that and you haven't already done it, you can download our book for free and then unsubscribe, therefore not incurring a fee.
Mm. Yes, we're giving it to you.
Alternatively, you could be a good egg and buy the hardback or the audiobook or the Kindle version, but we're meeting you halfway there.
Uh-huh.
The book has been very well reviewed across the board. Mm. Even the Daily Express gave it 4 out of 5 and they hate everything.
I took a break from talking about things.
The PR at Penguin said to me, I've never seen that before. Not even the film reviews get more than 2 out of 5 in the Express. They hate everything. So there we go. We got 4 out of 5. Tells its own story, doesn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Mm. There we are. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Bye from me.